St. Petersburg is known for its beautiful waterfront and its strong sense of community. But it also faces big challenges when it comes to the environment and infrastructure. This is Karen Carmichael, and today I'm joined by Claude Tankersley, Public Works Administrator for the City of St. Petersburg. Together, we'll explore how Public Works is tackling environmental challenges, securing funding, and engaging residents to keep our city thriving. Claude, let's start with your story. What first inspired you to work in public service and specifically in public works here in St. Petersburg?
So even as a kid, I was always interested in how things work. And I always liked the big things like roads and bridges and rivers and lakes and water systems and so forth. So I've always been interested in civil engineering. So I went to college, got my degrees in civil engineering, went to work for a consulting firm that worked for public agencies. And I started realizing how much I enjoyed designing water systems and designing roadways and so forth. But one of the things that was missing as a consultant was that I would be involved on a project, but I wouldn't be able to get to see it after it was done. I'd work on a project, I'd go to another city, So I switched to the public side so that I could be involved in the planning of the projects, the design, the construction, and then see how those projects impact the communities afterwards.
St. Petersburg faces rising seas, stronger storms, and aging infrastructure. How is the city funding specific projects to protect against flooding and climate impact?
Our primary source of funding comes from utility rates. So from the water, the sewer, reclaimed water, and the stormwater rates that everybody pays in their monthly bills, those are the primary sources for those projects. We also use funds that come to us from the Penny for Pinellas. But the amount that comes from Penny for Pinellas is relatively small compared to the utility rates, which is one of the reasons why over the past 10 years we've had to raise the utility rates so much, is because in order to do these multi-million dollar construction projects, we have to, you know, have the funding. Cities are constrained when it comes to funding. Out of all the public agencies in the state, we are the least able to raise revenues in creative ways. And so for us, it's the utility rates.
So what state or federal grants are helping move key stormwater or infrastructure projects forward?
So we are actively and have pursued and received grants from both the state and the federal agencies, such as Resilient Florida through the state, from HMGP, from the feds. We've received money through FEMA from the feds. And these funds help us move projects forward, such as the Bartlett Lake project we're working on now, or the upcoming Salt Creek project, where we're putting in a new park and a pump station on Salt Creek to help move the water out of the creek more quickly during flooding events. So without these funding sources from the outside, we probably would be a couple years behind on those projects right now.
So essentially, these projects were able to move forward because of the outside funding, and they made a big difference?
They do make a big difference. I do want to caution, though, is that we know that the sources of outside funding are starting to dry up. We're seeing reductions in federal funding. We're seeing reductions in state funding. And when you look at what we've been able to receive so far, the federal and state funding only covers about 5 to 10% total of our funds. Right. So the other 90% must come from us. The people who use the facilities and the people who benefit from the facilities, unfortunately, have to be the ones to pay for them.
So when the budgets are tight, how do you prioritize which environmental projects get funded first?
So we have two plans. One is called the St. Pete Water Plan, and the other one is our Stormwater Master Plan. And both of those plans went through a prioritization process to determine the impact of a specific project. We might look at, let's say for the stormwater project, how many homes might be impacted positively from the project, how big of a geographic area might be impacted, what is the cost of the project versus the benefit of the project. Is the project in an area with repetitive flooding, or is a project in an area that it just has occasional flooding? So we look at all those different factors, and then we rank the projects. We give them a score.
So residents often see construction, but they don't know how these decisions are made. How can citizens give input on projects that affect their neighborhood?
So whenever we do a project, we go out to the neighborhood association that is associated with the project, and we will have a public meeting to receive input. We have one coming up next week, matter of fact. And usually we'll do that at what we call the 30% design position of the project so that we can get the input early enough. We also, when we put together the St. Pete Water Plan and the Stormwater Master Plan, we went out into the community and asked for feedback for both of those plans. We also use information that we receive through C-Click Fix to help us identify areas that have repetitive issues, repetitive problems, and that helps us decide which programs can be done and or whether a project needed to be expanded.
So a tool like C-Click Fix or a community meeting is pretty much the most effective way for residents to report issues. How about tracking progress?
So C-Click Fix is a really important tool. We encourage people to use it. And as a matter of fact, I want to give kudos to the citizens of St. Petersburg because C-Click Fix is a national app. A lot of communities and counties throughout the United States use it. But the company has told us that the St. Petersburg citizens are the most engaged. We are the biggest users of C-Click Fix in the United States. One of the challenges of C-Click Fix, it is a reporting tool. It is not a social media tool. It is not a dialogue tool. It's not meant to be something where somebody would submit something in C-Click Fix, want to answer back, and then they provide input and they want an answer back. It's not a dialogue tool. It's only just to report issues that need to be addressed.
So can you share a success story where community feedback directly shaped a project or a policy?
Yes, the 40th Avenue Northeast Bridge was a perfect example.
In Shore Acres.
In Shore Acres, mm-hmm. Yes. That was a perfect example of a project that through the citizen feedback, we were able to raise the bridge higher, not only to provide protection for future sea level rise, but also to allow boats better access under the bridge. But also we were able to make sure that the bridge kept its historic appearance. And so therefore that citizen feedback was really important on that project.
What's the biggest misconception that people have about how public works operates?
Probably that we have our eyes and ears on things more than we're able to. So within public works, we have roughly 1,000 employees. But those 1,000 employees are responsible for 1,200 miles of road, 1,500 miles of pipe for water, 1,500 additional miles of pipe for sewer, 500 additional miles of pipe for stormwater, tens of thousands of manholes, tens of thousands of stormwater inlets, and countless potholes. We have over 4,000 intersections in the city of St. Petersburg. Think about it, 4,000 intersections.
Wow, that's a lot.
And so as a resident of St. Petersburg, I know I tend to be mostly focused on my neighborhood, my individual intersection, my individual storm drain inlet. And I think we forget that as a city, we cannot be as vigilant as the citizens can be. So therefore, it is really that's why C-Click Fix is so important to us, so that the citizens can be the eyes and ears. Unfortunately, when we get those reports with the 1,000 employees we have to cover all of these huge infrastructure, we often have a backlog. And so we can't get out there immediately. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it might take weeks or months. We have a list, and we can't bump people on the top of the list just because they want to be. We have to prioritize it as best we can.
Sure. So looking back, which project or initiative are you the most proud of? Like, what's something that truly improved the daily lives of residents?
It was the expansion of our wastewater system after the 2016 spills. We spilled hundreds of millions of gallons of sewage in 2015 and 2016 that led to a consent order from the state that led to us spending hundreds of millions of dollars to improve our wastewater system. Since then, the most of a spill we might have during any particular year might be 5 million gallons during a storm, a huge storm like Helene or Milton. Mm-hmm. While that's still more than we want, when you look at when we're doing hundreds of millions and now we're down to single-digit millions, mm-hmm. it's made a huge impact.
Is that work ongoing?
That work will always be ongoing. Mm-hmm. Our sewer system, as I mentioned, is huge. The facilities that we use, some of them were built back in the 1950s. We're constantly having to renew those facilities. And most of the pipes and pumps and everything that we have, they have a limited age of about 30 to 50 years. And so it's not a one and done. Mm. We're going to have to constantly be keeping these things updated.
Hmm. So I was watching the news the other day, and I saw that Pinellas Park was talking about citizens not using flushable wipes as flushable. And yes. I've heard you speak to this yes. a few times. So what can you tell our listeners?
So flushable wipes are flushable in the fact that when you flush your toilet, they leave your toilet. So they're no longer in your toilet. They won't clog your toilet. So in that regard, they're flushable. But they do not degrade. They do not break down in our sewer system. And so they create these huge mats of flushable wipes that cling together. They'll clog our pipes. They clog up our pumps. And then when you mix in fats, oils, and greases from our cooking and cleaning, then it creates these things called fatbergs. It's like an iceberg, but made out of fat. And I encourage your listeners to search for it in Google or whatever your search engine might be, because those fatbergs will clog up our system. And it's those things that often lead to the most sewer spills. And that's something that we cannot engineer our way out of.
But it's something that we can do as residents.
But it's something that we can do as residents. So the two things I ask residents to do not flush flushable wipes, and two, do not pour grease and oils down the drain.
Hmm. So what's the recommendation for grease and oil? Pour it in an aluminum can?
Pour them in an aluminum can, the same thing my grandmother used to do. Uh-huh. You know, just have a little aluminum can by the stove, pour the grease into the aluminum can, let it harden, throw it away in the trash can.
Oh, there you go. Looking ahead 5 to 10 years, what's your vision for a more resilient and environmentally sustainable St. Petersburg?
We will have more ability to handle some of the storms that we've been seeing through our stormwater master plan. The stormwater master plan has about $1 billion worth of projects identified in it. There's no way we're going to do $1 billion in 5 years, but we are increasing our spending on those projects so that we can do more. And one of the things that we will be coming to the citizens of St. Petersburg in next year is to ask them to approve even additional funding for those stormwater projects through a process called SPAR, which we call St. Pete Agile Resilience. And we'll be coming to the citizens asking them to vote on allocating more money towards SPAR so we can get more done.
Claude, it's always a pleasure to speak with you. Thank you so much for joining me today in the studio.
Thank you, Karen. It's great to be here.
You've been listening to my conversation with Claude Tankersley, Public Works Administrator for the City of St. Petersburg. We've talked about how Public Works is protecting our environment, strengthening our infrastructure, and partnering with residents to build a more resilient city. Thank you, Claude, for sharing your insight, and thanks to everyone for listening.